What's in the way? What's in the way? Is your fears in the way? Are your insecurities in the way? I got insecurities. I got a lot of them. Might not look like it, but I got a lot of insecurity. I need to get them out of the way. Amen? I need to remove all those things out of the way. Amen? We need to get prepared for revival, prepare ourselves, position ourselves. We need to get out of our comfort zone and expect the revival to take place. He says, I come to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite. You've gone through a lot of trials. You've been hit up. You know, you've been discouraged. You've been hit. The enemy has come against your life, come against your family. He's come against you. But God is saying to you this morning, I'm going to revive you. Don't stay there. I'm going to revive the spirit of the lowly, those that have been hurt, those that have been downtrodden, those that have been discouraged. I'm going to revive the spirit of the lowly. I'm going to revive the heart of the contrite. God wants to bring revival into your heart. Amen, church. So that we can see the power of God, the power of the Holy Spirit move in this place. Hallelujah. But we got to be ready. Amen, church. We got to be ready for what God is going to do. We got to be ready for the power of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that God wants to pour out his spirit on all flesh, on the young and on the old, on men and on women. He wants to pour out his spirit. Are you ready for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, church? Amen. Are you ready to receive the power of God? Yes. He says in Acts chapter 2, verse 16, it says, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people, and your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. Yes. See, God wants to pour out his spirit on you, and God wants to use you to speak his word to a hurting people, to a hurting world. God wants to use your gifts, your talents, your abilities, so that you could, through your gifts and talents, you will be speaking powerful words of God to reach hurting people all over the world. Hallelujah. You need to give the Lord a praise offering for that. Come on, praise him, church. But we got to remove the obstacles. And I just want to speak four things that we need to do to remove the obstacles. I want to speak about some signs that there's revival taking place in your life. Signs that there's revival taking place in our church. And what we need to do to remove the obstacles and to see the signs of revival is we need to experience repentance. That's my first point, repentance. Repentance. We need to be a people that repent of our sins. You know, the Nehemiah, when he was, you know, in Babylon, and he heard about the walls of Jerusalem, that they were torn down, and that and there was fire. Everything was turned down, burned down. The whole city was burned down, and the walls were torn down. The Bible says that Jeremiah began to pray, and the first thing he did was he asked God for forgiveness. He repented for his people. He repented for his nation. He repented for himself. He repented. Listen, if we want to see God rebuild the walls in the city of San Francisco, and stop thinking about Trump, because that's not what I'm talking about. Amen? Amen? We're talking about spiritual walls, amen, that will keep the enemy out of the church of God, that will keep the enemy out from your home, that will keep the enemy out from attacking your family. If we want to see that revival to take place, there needs to be a spirit of repentance. Amen, church. We need to confess our sins. We need to not only confess them, but we need to turn away from our sin. Are you listening, church? Yes. See, in Psalms chapter 85, verse 8, it says it like this. I will listen to what God the Lord says. He promises peace to his people, his faithful servants, but let them not turn to folly. He promises peace to his servants. He promises peace to his people, but let them not turn to folly. In other words, let them not turn to sin. And if they do turn to sin, repent and come back and turn away from that sin. Amen, church. Because that's what repentance is. Repentance is to make an about face. It's true repentance is you turn away from sin. Amen, church. See, and God wants to bring revival, but we cannot allow sin to live in the house of God. We cannot allow sin to live in your life. You cannot allow sin live in your life. Listen to me. Listen to me. If there's sin in your life, if you got a secret sin, you got to repent of it. Confess it. Confess that sin to the Lord. The Bible says in James 5:16, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Amen. He says, confess your sins. Confess them to one another. Confess them to the Lord that you may be healed. Did you know that sin is a disease? Sin is a sickness. And God wants to heal you from that terrible sin, that terrible disease called sin. Amen. The disease of sin is worse than AIDS, worse than cancer, worse than any other disease you could think of. Because you can have cancer, you can have AIDS, but you could be saved, and when you die, you go to heaven. But if you are possessed by the disease called sin, when you die, you're not going to heaven. Amen? We need to repent. Amen? We need to repent of that sin. It is so important that you become a person that turns away from sin. We need to have a spirit of repentance. Without repentance, no revival will ever take place. Without repentance, there's not going to be no revival in your home, no revival with your children, no revival in your family. If you're still living in sin, if you're still playing with sin and you're not repenting of it, don't expect revival. Don't you out there sinning and you come back, God bless me. How do you expect God to bless you? If he blesses you, because he could if he wanted to, but that's because of his mercy. But don't expect it. But if you repent of your sin, hallelujah, and if you realize you don't deserve God's grace, God's mercy, God said, I'm going to give it to you anyway. He promises. He says, I promise to give you peace. I promise to give you joy if you turn away from folly, turn away from sin. It's a promise from God. God does not break his promises like you and I do. Amen? God does not break his promises. Come on, praise him, church. Hallelujah. 2 Chronicles 7:14 and 15 says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. Hallelujah. God wants to bring healing. God wants to bring restoration to your life. But there's got to be repentance. We need to experience repentance. Are you ready to repent, church? Let's repent. When we sin, let's be quick to repent. Amen, church. Let's be quick to confess our sin. Let's turn away from our sin and live right before the Lord. Amen, church. Don't hold on to that sin of rebellion, that sin of pride. We're proudful people, and we got to humble ourselves. Amen, church. That sin of pride, of rebellion, that sin of nobody tells me what to do. That's pride, and that's a sin. The Bible calls that the sin of rebellion. Amen, church. And we don't want to be involved in that sin of rebellion because the Bible equals that to witchcraft. So you might as well go be a Satan worshiper if you're going to be rebellious. Amen, church. Amen. But let's repent of that. Amen. Let's turn away from that. Let's have that spirit of repentance so we can experience revival. Amen? And that leads me to the second point. My second point is, what we need to experience revival and to remove the obstacles out of the way is we need not only repentance, but we also need reconciliation. Reconciliation. What is reconciliation? Is forgiving those that offend us. What is reconciliation? Forgive those that offend you. Forgive those that offend us. When we forgive those that hurt us, that offend us, now we're practicing reconciliation. Amen? Because and then real reconciliation is when the other person also forgives. When two people forgive, and now that's real reconciliation. Amen? But you can't control what the other person does. You can only control what you do. Amen? So you got to do your part, and your part is to forgive those that offend you. Amen? Well, We got to forgive. And in Psalms 85, verse 10, let me read this to you. It says, love and faithfulness meet together. Righteousness and peace kiss each other. That's Psalms 85, 10. Let me read you again. Love and faithfulness meet together. Love and faithfulness meet together. See, when there's reconciliation, it's two groups of people, two people come together and they reconcile. When a marriage is reconciled, when a marriage that is broken and they come together and they forgive each other, what happens is reconciliation, right? Love and faithfulness meet together. Amen? Righteousness and peace kiss each other. Righteousness and peace. When two people come together and they are reconciled, now they can fellowship. I don't mean you got to physically kiss each other, amen? But there's fellowship, amen? You love to be in each other's presence, but when there's no reconciliation, you don't want to be around the other person, amen? But we need to have reconciliation. In our marriages, there needs to be reconciliation. In our relationships here in the church, there needs to be reconciliation. We need to constantly work on reconciliation. Because guess what? We're probably going to constantly hurt each other. Amen? 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 The more you hang out with people, the more you're going to get hurt. But the more you get hurt, the more you got to forgive. And the more you forgive, you will see reconciliation. Amen? Listen, if there's no reconciliation, there's no revival. Everybody in the church hates each other. They don't like each other. But we come together and we praise the Lord. I don't want to sit over there, man. I'm going to sit over here. I'm going to praise the Lord over here. Right? You think God's going to bring revival? Amen? But God wants his people to love one another, to fellowship with one another, to enjoy each other's company, to enjoy each other's fellowship. See, that's what the Lord wants. Amen, church? And when he sees the people of God, they love the fellowship. They love to be with one another. He will bring the reconciliation that is needed, and revival will come. Amen, church? Amen. Now, I want to read you a familiar scripture to most everybody, but also convicting when you read the whole thing. Because we're familiar with this, especially if you're come from a Catholic background. Let me read it to you. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 through 14 says, in this manner, therefore, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. That's a big one. And forgive us our debts or our sins, as we forgive those that owe us, as we forgive those that have hurt us. Amen, church. It says, and do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. But it doesn't stop there. Verse 14, the next verse, Jesus gives a commentary on that prayer. Look at verse 14. He says, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. We don't say that part. You notice that there's a whole prayer that Jesus gave his disciples. He said, you want to know how to pray? They pray like this. And he gives them a prayer, a model prayer to follow. And then Jesus gives a commentary, but he doesn't talk about the whole prayer. He just gives a commentary about the forgiveness part. And he says, for if you forgive men, if you forgive women, if you forgive those that offend you, if you forgive their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. If we don't forgive those that offend us, don't expect to be forgiven. How do you expect God to forgive you when you really hurt God? In fact, it was your fault that he was crucified. So did you offend Jesus? I think you did. But guess what? So did I. We all offended him with our sins. That's why he was nailed to the cross. Amen? And Jesus could have, you know what? I got to be on this cross. My Father in heaven is telling me to get on this cross, so I'm going to get on this cross. But I don't want to be on here, but don't talk to me. But thank God our Jesus don't do that. Amen? What did he say when he was on the cross? Lord, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Amen? They don't know what they're doing. Amen? So if you cannot forgive your brother, your sister, your husband, your wife, your children, your parents, anybody that offends you, if you cannot forgive them, don't expect your heavenly Father to forgive you. Amen? Amen? See, we need to practice reconciliation. I'm talking about revival, church. I want to see God move in this church. I want to see God do great things in this church. I want to see God bring that revival, the healings and the miracles that he promised. Amen. But we got to get the obstacles out of the way. And one of those obstacles that we got to get out of the way is that reconciliation. We got to forgive. We got to forgive those that offend us. Amen, church. We got to forgive those that hurt us. And let me tell you sometimes, let me just tell you, in the church sometimes we hurt each other and we don't even know it. Right? You know, we say something, we say something and we don't mean to hurt anybody, but we just say something and maybe we're busy or whatever. And we say something, we walk away, and then the person gets hurt. And then the brother, that sister gets hurt. And the one that hurt you don't even know that they hurt you. Right? They don't even know. And then you're walking around with this hurt and you carry this hurt with you. Just let it go. Amen. Let it go. Amen. Let it go. And forgive. Amen. Forgive and forget. Most of the time, you know, we're serving God. We're busy for the Lord. We're doing God's will. And you know, sometimes we're in a rush. We might say something that we don't mean to say and we get hurt. Let's just put it to the side. Stop being emotional. Amen. We can't be emotional. Amen. God wants to bring revival. And we're hurt because somebody said something to us. They didn't say it the right way. And let me tell you, we're not everybody here is always perfect. In fact, many of you come from the streets and you haven't even learned manners yet. Some of you still need to learn how to say thank you and please, amen, amen. And then we come to church and we get offended. Let's put those minor things to the side, amen, church. Let's forgive, amen. Let's forgive because we have been hurt, but we got to forgive and put it to the side, amen. What does that represent when we begin to practice reconciliation? That is real love. That is love. That is real love. True love is when we could forgive those that hurt us. In fact, in the Bible, 1 Corinthians 13, the whole chapter of love, I'm going to read a few verses from that chapter, starting in verse 4. It says, love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. Did you hear that? Love is not easily angered. Amen. And listen to this. Love keeps no record of wrong. It keeps no record of wrong. Sometimes we have a mental record of everybody that hurt us. All right, we got it all down. That person did that 2 years ago. That person did that 5 years ago. And we're still holding on to that record. But real love keeps no record of wrong. Let me tell you, I'm speaking to me too. I gotta do this myself. I'm not telling you because I'm perfect. I've been hurt many times, and I have a record of wrong, and I gotta throw it away. I need to throw it away. People have wronged me many, many times, and I gotta throw it away because I want to see revival. I want to see revival, church. We need to see God move in this place. God wants to move in your heart. God wants to move in your life, in your marriage, in your family, in your home. God wants to move, but we need to get these things out of the way. Unforgiveness. That gets in the way of revival. So if you want to see revival, there's got to be repentance. If you want to see revival, there's got to be reconciliation. Number three, if you want to see revival, there's got to be personal renewal. Personal renewal. What is personal renewal? Is when you have a passion. Your passion for God is restored. Your passion for the work of the ministry is restored. Your passion for lost souls. See, there is a passion when there's a personal renewal. Remember when you first got saved. Some of you got saved many, many years ago. And you got saved and you were excited for God. And you were out in the streets and you were witnessing. And you went to work and you witnessed to your boss. And you didn't care if you got fired. You were excited for God, and you came to church early. Everybody say early. You came to church early, and you came to the altar, and you prayed, and you got involved in ministry. You were excited for God. Hallelujah. But then all of a sudden, time goes by, and you go through trials, and the devil hits you up, and now you back off. Listen, you want to see revival in this church? You want to see revival in your family? You want to see revival with your kids, in your marriage? You want to see revival in your life? Then you got to get that passion for God, and you got to restore that passion. You got to renew that passion for God. Amen, church. Paul tells the Romans in Romans chapter 12, verse 11, not lacking in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Fervent in spirit is a passion for the power of God, for the love of God, for the work of God, for the ministry that God has given to us. It's a passion for winning lost souls. Do you have a passion for the lost? Do you have a compassion for people that don't know Jesus? When we see these United We Can videos, does it tug at your heart? I got to be a part of this. See, when you have a passion for God, you begin to give. Don't get quiet on me now. Amen? See, people with a passion for God, they're excited to give. Yesterday, I went to a training of how to build a thriving church and having a healthy culture in the church that will be conducive for growth. And he mentioned many, many things. And one of the things that he talked about was in the church with a healthy culture, they give. They're not afraid to give. They're not afraid to give. And listen, church, if we are going to see revival, then we got to have a passion for God. And that passion will not hold you back from giving. Amen, church. You will give to United We Can. You will give of your tithes. You will give of your offerings. You're not going to question God, should I give, should I not give? And I don't know if I should do. I don't know. What are they doing with the money? Are they going to, they trying to rip me off? And we start thinking all these negative thoughts. But when you have a passion for God, that doesn't even cross your mind. You just give because you love God. There's a passion for God. Amen, church. See, we need to have a passion because our God, he's a God of passion. Our God is a passionate God. Jesus is a passionate God. He was so passionate for you that he died on the cross for you. Amen. That's how much passion he had for you. He did not only give of his finances, he gave his life for you. And now we're worried about 10% of our check. We're worried about 10%. Jesus gave his life for you so that you can give not only 10, but even more than 10%. But if it wasn't for God, you wouldn't be here right now. If it wasn't for the Lord, you probably wouldn't be having that job you have right now. If it wasn't for God, who knows where you'd be. But thank Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank Jesus that he came down and he changed our life. And see, and that should give us a passion for God to do his work, to do the ministry, to win souls for the Lord. Amen, church. See, when there's a passion, you're excited to give. There's four levels of giving. Let me just mention real quickly. I got this yesterday from this class. So he mentioned there's four levels of giving. People that the first level is when you don't give. So if you don't give, then you're at level one. All right? You're at level one. The first level of giving is you don't give. The second level of giving is when you give conveniently, when it doesn't hurt. When you give, when you have an extra and it doesn't hurt. And he gave the example of at some McDonald's, when you go to McDonald's and you buy your Big Mac or whatever you buy at McDonald's, and then right next to the cash register, there's a little box. Right, and it's for the Ronald McDonald House, right, for a donation, and so what is McDonald's doing? They're looking for convenient givers. When you pay your $3, $4 for whatever burger you get, and then they give you 50 cents change or 45 cents change, and they want you to put the change because it ain't gonna hurt. The change that you put in there is not gonna hurt. It's they're looking for the convenient givers. When you give, when it doesn't hurt, that's the second level. If you only give when it's convenient for you, you're at level two. But it's time to go to level three. What is level three? Level three is the faithful giver, but you give the minimum. The third level of giving is the faithful. You faithfully give your 10%, the minimum. That's you're doing the bare minimum. It's the requirement of the law. Amen? Okay, I gave my tithes, and you're doing the minimum. Praise God for that. Amen? But you do it faithfully. That's the third level. I wonder how many third level givers we have here. You faithfully give your tithe. If you don't faithfully give your tithe, then you're either level two or level one. If you don't faithfully give your tithes, but everybody should at least be at level three. But if you're a mature Christian, you should go to level four. Level four is when you give generously. A generous giver is the fourth level of giving. When you give abundantly, when you give more than you have to give, amen? When you give a tithe, a 10%, You give offerings. You give pledges. You give to United We Can. You give when we have a special love offering for a special guest. You give, and you always give. Those are generous givers. Amen. And that's, if we want to see revival in this church, we need generous givers. Amen, church. Because he said yesterday, to maintain the church, it takes givers. To grow the church, it takes big givers. So do we want to maintain or do we want to grow? So it's going to take generous givers, big givers. Amen, church. Not just maintaining. Amen, church. So it's time to have a passion for God. Personal renewal. If we're going to see revival in our church, then we need to have a passion for God. We need to be excited to give. We need to be excited to serve. Amen, church. You come to church and you're ready to serve in the house of God. Amen. You're excited to evangelize. You have a burden for souls. You're excited to even go to church. Amen. You prepare to go to church. It's tomorrow Sunday. I can't wait to get to church. You're excited for church. Amen, church. Psalms 122 verse 1 says, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. When you get that text from me on Saturday night, come to church. Do you get excited? Yes, I'm going to church tomorrow. Or do you get bummed out? Oh, no, Pastor Ed's texting me again. You're laughing. I wonder why you're laughing. Because it's funny or because it's true? I'm gonna go for it's funny. Amen. 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 See, we need to have a passion for the things of God. If we're going to see revival and renewal, we need to be excited for God. Amen. Come, prayed up. You come to church and you pray. You're prayed up. You're on Saturday night. You're preparing your mind, your heart for church. Amen, church. I mean, you're preparing yourself. Amen. You're not staying up till 4 or 5 in the morning watching videos or YouTube or Netflix or video games or whatever. You know, I'm gonna go to church and praise God. Amen. But sometimes the devil knows that you're going to go to church. And what does he do? He starts bringing trials your way. Your car breaks down on Saturday. Right? No, and you got to go to church. But if you're excited to go to church, you say, I'm not going to let that stop me. I'm going to take Uber to church. Or I'm going to take the bus to church. Or I'm going to call a brother or a sister to pick me up. I'm not going to let my car breaking down stop me from going to church. Amen? Your kids begin to act up. They begin to get rebellious on Saturday night. And then you start going through trials. Or they don't come home. You're at home and you're praying for your kids because it's 3 in the morning. They haven't come home yet. And you're worried about your kids. Listen, you begin to pray, you begin to fast, and God will bring them back. Amen, church. Amen. See, we need to have an excitement to go to church. Amen. Because God wants to do a great thing in this church. God wants to move in a powerful way in this church. If you're here today, you're not here by accident. Because I pray, God, you know who needs to be here. I pray, Lord, you know who needs to be here, who needs to hear this. Bring them to the house of God. Bring them. Holy Spirit, tug at their hearts. Bring them here. I don't only send you the text, but I pray for you to come. Amen? Amen. Amen. And I send out a lot of texts, and obviously they didn't all come. But I pray for them too. Amen? But I pray, God, those you know who needs to hear this, bring them here. Speak to them. Bring a revival in their hearts, because the revival starts in your heart before it takes place in the church. It's because you are the church. Amen, church. So there needs to be personal renewal, a revival that takes place in your heart. Got to be a passion for God, a passion for the work of the ministry, a passion for lost souls, where you're excited to go to church, you're excited to give, you're excited to serve, you're excited to evangelize and to tell people about Jesus. Amen, church. Are you excited? God wants to bring revival. And we need to repent. Repentance, number one. We need to have reconciliation, number two. And it needs to be personal renewal, number three. And those three are for the church, for you, me and you. But the fourth thing that needs to take place, and this is what you and I need to do when we pray. And then the fourth thing that needs to take place is spiritual awakening. Spiritual awakening. That lost souls and backsliders will begin to realize their need for God. were lost souls and backsliders. See, if you're here today, you're probably not a backslider. And if you are, you get right. Amen. And if you're here today, you're probably not a lost soul. But if you are, you know, you can get saved here. Amen. Amen. But the people that need spiritual awakening, because you've been awakened, you realize your need for God. Amen. You realize your need for God. Maybe you have a secret sin, but you're here, so you realize your need for God. But a spiritual awakening is when lost souls and backsliders realize their need for God. They're out there in the world. They're out there in sin. They're out there getting high or at the nightclubs or partying, whatever they're doing in their sin. Maybe they're just staying home and watching TV. They're in their sin, right? They're in their sin. But you and I need to pray that there will be a spiritual awakening. That means that you got to have a burden for lost souls. You pray, God, let there be spiritual awakening for my family that doesn't know you. Let there be a spiritual awakening for the brothers and sisters that have left the church and they backslid. And we pray, God, let there be a spiritual awakening. Let there be a spiritual awakening for the people around me that don't know you. God, let them realize their need for you. You begin to pray for lost souls. Amen, church. You pray for lost souls, that souls would get saved and committed to God. See, that's what needs to, see, when revival is taking place, then the lost realize they need God. Some of them may repent, some of them may not repent, but they realize they need God. And the Holy Spirit now tugs at their heart. The Holy Spirit now deals with them. The Holy Spirit now convicts them. I remember before I got saved, the Holy Spirit dealing with me. How about you? Do you remember that? Before you came to the Lord, do you remember the Holy Spirit tugging at your heart? Most people, the Holy Spirit deals with us first before we get saved. And I remember the Holy Spirit tugging at my heart when my aunt from Guatemala began to witness to us. My dad's sister, she came over here for a vacation to as a tourist. And she began to witness. She was saved, full of the Holy Ghost. And she began to witness to us. I was 15 years old, I remember. And she began to tell us about the Lord and about Jesus and that crucifix that was over my bed, that's an idol. Because we were Catholics. I had a crucifix of Jesus on the cross over my bed. That's an idol. And the Bible says we're not to worship idols. And she would tell me all these things. And I was like, what's, I didn't understand. What I mean, I thought, you know, everybody was a Catholic. That's what I thought. I go, everybody's a Catholic. But she began to tell me all these things. But I began to listen to her. I didn't get saved immediately. But after I heard her, the Holy Spirit began to tug at my heart, began to deal with my heart, began to tug at my heart. And then my dad used to make us read the Bible in Spanish because he wanted us to learn how to speak Spanish, not because he wanted us to learn the Bible, but it was a good book to read. So I began to read the book in the Bible in Spanish, and I would read parts of the Bible that says, if you're ashamed of me before man, I'm ashamed of you before my Father. And I would get like convicted. I would get convicted. And other scriptures, you know, I would read, you know, there's different, I would read it and some scriptures would convict me. And the Holy Spirit was dealing with me. I didn't get saved till I was 22 years old. But the Holy Spirit was dealing with me. For those 7 years, I was uncomfortable because the Holy Spirit was dealing with me. And I finally gave my life to the Lord. But listen, we need to pray for that. Pray for a spiritual awakening that people realize their need for God. That people realize that they need something in their life, and what they're doing is not enough. What they're doing is not satisfying, and they're never going to get satisfied until they give their life to God. Amen, church. See, we need to pray for that spiritual awakening for lost souls and for backsliders to realize their need for God. Without God, people are lost. And to make it more blunt, without God, people go to hell. Saying they're lost, you know, doesn't sound that bad. Right? Like, I'm lost, you know, I was looking for the store and I got lost. I parked my car at the mall and I can't find my car. I lost my car, so it doesn't sound that bad. But the truth is, being lost in the spirit means you're going to hell. Amen? And we have to realize that. And we need to pray that people wake up. Wake up. They have a spiritual awakening. But it starts first in the church. It starts in the church. The church needs to have a spirit of repentance. The church needs to forgive those that offend us, a reconciliation. The church, we need to have a personal renewal. And as we begin to repent and reconcile with one another and have a personal passion for God, and we begin to pray for the lost souls that they realize they need for God, their need for God, there will be a spiritual awakening. People will be walking outside the doors and they'll sense something coming out of here. They'll be walking on that street over there. What's that, Quesada? They'll be walking on that street and they'll sense something is pulling me in there. They'll be walking here on Lane Street. And they'll be sensing, they'll be walking in and they're going to want to go upstairs to the gym, but the Holy Spirit is going to draw them in here. Holy Spirit's going to draw people in here like the Holy Spirit drew you here today. The Holy Spirit drew you here today. I prayed for you to come here today. Amen. And the Holy Spirit drew you here today. Now you got to be obedient and say, I'm going to stay here. You need to be obedient to God. I'm going to stay committed to my church. I'm going to stay sold out to my church. I'm going to stay where God wants me to be. I'm going to stop doing my own thing. Amen, church. This is where God wants you to be. God's going to raise up a powerful youth gang ministry. God's going to raise up a powerful worship team. There's not going to be room to put so many musicians. That means we have to get a bigger building. God wants to raise up a rehab home, a victory recovery home for men and for women. God wants to do all these things. God wants to bring revival in the church. God wants to raise up a kids gang ministry, a dynamic, powerful kids gang ministry. God wants to do all these things. God wants to do great things. But it's going to take repentance, reconciliation, a passion for God, and praying for a spiritual awakening. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for that, church? I want the worship team to come up, and I want to read to you again those opening scriptures that I read to you in Isaiah. Isaiah 57, verse 14 and 15. It says like this. Let's sing that song, Holy Spirit, You Are Welcome Here. I want us to, we need the presence of God. Look what Isaiah 57, verse 14 and 15. Look what it says. And it will be said, build up, prepare the road, remove the obstacles out of the way of my people. For this is what the high and exalted one says. He who lives forever, whose name is holy, I live in a high and holy place, but also with the one who is contrite and lowly in spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly, to revive the heart of the contrite. God says, I'm ready to build. But get everything out of the way that's an obstacle. Amen? Get everything out of the way. In the military, those of you in the military, you know, when an officer is going to walk through somewhere, what does he say? He says, make a hole. Make a hole. In other words, I'm walking through. Get out of the way. Right? Because I'm going to walk through. Jesus is walking through the church. So what does he say? Make a hole. Make a hole. Get everything out of the way. Amen, church. Get everything out of the way. He wants to come into your life, into your family, into your home, into our church. He wants to come in, but we got to get everything out of the way that will keep him from coming in. How many want the presence of God? How many want to see revival? How many want to see revival, church? So start repenting. Get reconciled. Forgive those that offend you. Get a passion for God and start praying for a spiritual awakening. Start. Can you do that, church? Yes. We're fasting one more week. Keep your fast. Keep your fast. Don't get sidetracked. Keep your fast one more week. Amen? And let's see God move in a powerful way. Stand. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. If you need to come to this altar, come. Worship team, begin to sing. Worship team, begin to sing. Come to this altar. If you need a miracle in your life, come to this altar. You need a healing in your life, come to this altar. You want to pray for souls to get saved, come to this altar. You want to pray for a spiritual awakening, come. Come to this altar. If you need a passion, you need to get your passion back for God. If you need your passion, then come to this altar. If you got to repent of your any sins in your life, come. Come to this altar. Come.